Blessings, everyone. Do you kneel? Please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for blessing us with this Sabbath day. Thank you for all the prayers that have led up to this day, all the answered prayers, even when you answer no. You know, because Father, we know that you know best, and we don't want to take any chances with our lives, and so we thank you for controlling them perfectly. Thank you for the spankings too. Please bless everyone here in attendance, everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that are being put in the room, even during the children's story. And thank you, Father God, for blessing us with the light of rain and giving us a desire in our hearts to be ready for that rain. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is forever our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I don't know, it seems a little low. Why does this mic always seem like it's low? I don't know, Fran, couldn't hear you. You'd have to send me a private message on that one. I just raised the mic a little bit there. Looks like I raised it too much, though. Hold on. There, that should do it. Right about there should be good. All right. I don't know why. Oh, that's right, I changed. I just noticed with the text chat that it was putting me up as admin all the time, and so I got rid of the admin thing, and now it put up an A. So I got to put my gift box back up on the text chat on my profile, but I don't care. The sound is a little low. Okay, but what about now? Because I know you guys got 20 seconds on the lag, maybe 10. So let me know there. So, how's it now? All right. Let me get it right up there. Okay, that should do it. All right. Okay, so the Sabbath, this Sabbath actually. All right, thanks, Gilbert. Thank you, my brother. So yeah, it all depends on if someone's using a cell phone, a laptop, or a computer. Computer's going to be the loudest, obviously. Okay, so this Sabbath, let's look at how important obedience is and how dangerous disobedience is. Yeah, we all know that's the basics in all this. It's mostly considered common sense with Christians, and so praise the Lord for that. But Satan is one crafty little demon who can make a literal mountain out of a molehill rather easily when he attacks us, and especially when our guard is down. I don't know. I mean, it's just so annoying. Like if you're really, really tired and you're, like say if I'm up too late trying to fix a server and I get a little bit too much upset, and so that'll give Satan an opportunity to try to get in there and tempt me. But in today's end time society, when all that was taboo just a few decades ago is now considered legitimate lifestyle choices. I mean, the line of disobedience and the line of obedience is very hard for people to see now. They don't know when they're doing right. They don't even know when they're doing wrong. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality and all that entails. I mean, billions of people out there also think it's perfectly normal to have relations with the opposite sex without even having marriage. And that's just one aspect of life on Earth in these last days. They all think that, our God is a God of love and gentleness. And he is, he is. He very much is. But he's also, his mercy is as high as his wrath. Like if he says don't do it, you go ahead and do it anyway, thinking that he's too loving to punish you for it. Well, you get a rude awakening coming, because his wrath is at the exact level as his mercy. That's why the altar of burnt offering is the exact same height when they built it in Moses' day as the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant, in the most holy place. his throne where he sits. And yes, this is just, you know, one more satanic spinoff in the minds of Satan's victims. What I mean is, many are going to think that because they don't partake in homosexuality, where an utter demon possession is not only displayed by those doing so, it is accepted as completely normal by heterosexuals who don't do it for the same strange reasons. You know, it's just weird. I mean, I can recall how in the 1970s some of my friends wanted to pound on and beat the daylights out of homosexuals. One of my buddies, actually, I had to stop one guy from doing it because he almost killed the guy, but they just want to pound on them. Because of back in the 70s, it was just so disgusting. It was even illegal. Today, most think it's actually considered an alternative lifestyle. And there's all sorts of way that Rome got people to fall for this, you know. And they've been doing it for centuries. I mean, the prophecy of Daniel chapter 11 is pretty clear in regards to the homosexuality thing. Hence the reason when they invented Santa Claus, they did it in a way that... it's like that one word I've always been looking for in the Latin language that says something that they're doing is something that they know will not, they won't reap the benefits of for centuries. Well, that's why centuries ago, or I can't remember, I think it was in the 1700s that Santa Claus was invented. I'm not talking about Saint Nicholas, you know, and his so-called beginnings in regards to helping out some prostitute, but I'm talking about Santa Claus. You know, the guy that... Well, I'll explain it later in the Q&A, because today is about Q&A about Christmas and all that. But the Santa Claus is actually either cross-gender, you know, or transgender, or cross-dresser, you know. And I'll explain that later. And you'll be shocked if you're new to this church family. You'll be shocked at how easily this is proven. And 99.9% of the people out there never saw it, never even realized it. Oh my, how did we miss that one? And the hint is the term Santa. Okay? That's female in gender. San is male in gender. But again, we'll get into that later. But I can remember just a few short decades ago how words like homosexual and premarital sex was considered very bad by society, or even divorce. I remember when I was a little kid, and that one woman down the road, this is before the tornado, so I was under 12 years of age, and I remember shocked out of my little socks as to why did that, and when I found out why she committed suicide, she was like two blocks away. Never met her, nothing, you know, never even met the kids in the family, if they even had any, I don't know, don't really remember. But when I found out that she committed suicide because her husband wanted to divorce her, I thought, oh, wow. She ended her life over that, you know. And still, even then, you know, divorce was considered taboo. It was extremely like, oh, you just didn't do it. You know, I'm talking late 1950s, early 60s. Because it hadn't gotten to the point yet when a woman was divorcing a man that she could take him for everything he got, you know. And that's why the divorce rate skyrocketed when they started changing laws in America. But no, I'm not blaming the women, because the guys, some of these guys deserve to lose their wives. But thanks to the homosexual movement that changed their sin to the acronym GAY, when it comes to some of these strange things that society says is okay, and that the word gay is when it first came out, it was always spelled like this in the newspapers. I remember this because this happened in the 70s, I think. It was always G.A.Y. And when they were asked about it on TV, I saw this, you know, like I said, 70s, and I remember it to this day, but you don't hear about this anymore, but it actually means G-A-Y, good as you, and most people fell for it. So today, and it's not that we're any better than they are, it's just that they're pushing the thing to say we're just as good as you, Christians, because that's their big beef. Remember, what was the woman's name that got the pie thrown in her face by the homosexuals because she was... She used to be a Miss America or something like that, and then in her older years she started to, and she was Christian, and she was trying to do everything she can to stop the movement. Can't remember her name. But right on national TV, she was being interviewed, and like in a crowd, as she was walking through some crowd, and a reporter came up, and it looked to me like it was staged because it made it easy for her to get labeled with that pie. But that, yeah, just a whipped cream pie, bam, right in the face. And it made her weep because she was just trying to do the right thing there, you know. And it was a homosexual that did it, obviously. But today, most people never even knew that the letters G-A-Y meant something. But removing the taboo or sinfulness of that lifestyle, you know, the satanic floodgates open to create the society we, you know, we have today, wherein if you want to be recognized as someone who embraces the strangest sins known to man, you can do so, and the PC or politically correct community will protect you to the point of persecuting Christians who share love-filled warnings with them. So, anyway, let me just see something here, make sure I'm in the chat room, because I'm not getting... No one responds. Well, I guess no one... Anita? I think her name is Anita something. Or no, I think it's Anita. Anyway, when they passed laws to protect the homosexuals decades ago after a few fake and some real murders were committed against the homosexuals, and I say fake because, you know, I don't know if you remember that one kid that was killed, and they said he was killed because he was homosexual. No, I remember doing some research on it to make a point in a sermon back then. This was before the internet, and it was found out that he wasn't a homosexual. And it was a suicide or something. I can't remember what the kid's name was now either. He was like 12 or 13. But they gilded the lily. They like they do today, like with the plandemic. They made a mountain out of a molehill, you know, so as to get a bunch of people to follow their lead. And well, because they've been dumbing down the kids in the schools for literally what, two generations now. They're, you know, you got nothing but sheeple coming out of the schools. And so yeah, it was easy to con everybody into the COVID thing, but since they started pushing this thing, all sorts of strange people came forward that wanted to have the same protection as the homosexuals, and so today it's not just the homosexuals, it's the LGBTQ. It used to be LGBT, then it was LGBTQ, you know, queer, and so now they're all protected, and they call themselves queer. They're, you know, I'm not, you know, being a jerk or mean or anything like that. That's LGBT. What is it? L is lesbian, G is homosexual, but they say gay. B is bisexual, T is transgender, and Q is queer. So, you know, I even saw an article not too long ago of a man that wanted to marry his computer because the porn he watched on it gave him such joy. And they let him marry his computer. Kid you not. That's today's society. But we also have to understand it's not just the sinful lifestyles that cultivate a dead soul filled with blackness to the point they don't see anything that we see. This is one of the reasons we see what we see, is because the loud cry is about to get very loud. It's about to start, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to warn people about everything from, you know, you got the alcohol, the drugs, the porn, the violent movies, even the violent video games, where the human mind is changed in many different ways. I mean, the drugs and the alcohol, well, that's easy to see. It defiles the soul and the body, in how even a 16-year-old child can get life in prison for crossing the double yellow line head-on into another car, killing a family. You know, because there's no longer any mistakes anymore. Now it's, oh, you meant to, you know, cripple yourself for life and then kill a family at the ripe old age of 16. And so they put them in jail sometimes for life. It's just ridiculous. It's a crazy society. They're just... But that's where we're living, but not for long, praise his name. And so you know, the 16-year-old didn't purposely get into the car, as we know, to go out and look for someone to kill. Well, some do, obviously, but no, the kid just drank a little bit too much, got drunk, lost control of the car. But society is based on how much money can be made when someone makes a mistake, either by the victim's family winning millions in a lawsuit to provide, you know, to private prisons making millions of dollars housing prisoners for the government, because there's America imprisons more people than any other nation on earth, to the point they actually have private prisons now, to where, because the government's just sick and tired of doing it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if they can make a buck, they're going to ignore what's right and what's wrong and do it so they can, you know, have a cash cow. And if you've broken the smallest crime that, imaginable sometimes, yeah, they're going to hide information in your trial. I mean, how many people have been let out of jail after decades of appeals when they finally found out that the district attorney was, you know, just in it for career moves, and he literally, or she, literally would hide evidence that would get you out of that courtroom as a free man or woman, but they hid the evidence that would have exonerated you because they needed you to be jailed so that their career could go further to the point of being in politics. And so why did I share all that? Well, all of what I just shared, and I could have gone on a lot more, is looked upon as no big deal in this end-time society, unless, of course, you're the one that gets caught. It's no big deal anymore. No one seems to realize that the God of the Bible never sleeps, nor do the angels reporting to him every single solitary second of the day regarding our disobedience as well as our obedience. But because everybody around us is doing it, some people seem to think, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't know how many times I've heard that when I will come up to somebody and says, you know, that's actually a lie. Well, yeah, everybody else is doing it. And then we've all heard it, even as little kids. Well, if little Johnny jumped into a lake, would you jump in a lake, Tom? Well, Mom, if it was hot out, you know, that's, you know, that would always warrant a slap in the face, obviously. But then the new one was, well, if Johnny jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? I said, well, of course not. I'm not an idiot. But that's society, though. I mean, look at Noah's day. Exact same thing's going on today. Everybody else is doing it because there's not a bolt of lightning flying out of the sky every time someone commits a sin. So they figure, if God's not, striking me dead, I guess I can push the envelope a little further. Well, eventually that cup's going to be full. And you might not get your bolt of lightning, but you'll certainly get your fire. So, but next to no one seems to count the costs of their own actions today. At the same time, that type of mindset makes them ignore the costs their sins have on others too. I mean, they don't care about themselves. They're certainly not going to care about others. I mean, look at the divorce rate as well as the suicide rate. Suicide is the most selfish sin you can ever commit. You don't care about anybody around you. You don't care about your loved ones. It's all me, me, me. And this is all, don't, you know, it's just like with the abortion. You know, the people says, oh, it's my body, my decision, right? He says, yeah, but you're killing somebody because you don't want to get stretch marks. Or the teenager that kills himself, you're killing yourself, but you don't care about your mom for the next 10 years going to be crying her eyes out, or maybe 20 years or 30 years. Or your dad might even keel over and have a heart attack because he loved you so much, but that doesn't matter because it's your choice. It's your, you know, you do what you want. And so they don't realize that no man's an island. You would think movies like It's a Wonderful Life, even back in the 50s, would have slowed down the divorce rate to some extent, but because that's common sense, the way that thing is set up, even though it's all bogus and demonic and Catholic, the basic reality is that, yeah, we affect a lot more people than we realize. These people out here in world society, most of the majority don't even have an inkling as to what it cost the Son of God who came to save them from their sins. They have no clue. You know, I find it amazing as well as fitting that there is one Bible verse that most people know, and this includes everyone from the atheist to the Muslim. This one Bible verse has been put out there far and wide for a reason. Everybody knows it. Even the atheist knows it. In our generation alone, it has become so prevalent that Hollywood would have it appear in their movies for realism, while at the same time make it possible for them to belittle the person presenting the verse simply because they hate Christians. Well, I'm sure most of you already know what I'm talking about here, what that verse is. But for the young people that have yet to see how many times this can and will show up in the coming days of their life, having it appear so often like it does makes it obvious that the Lord is behind this. That verse is, of course, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, I recall a movie I saw decades ago when I was still watching movies. I think it was a sporting movie. It was about football, I guess, or something like that, and where And then even in reality to this day, but now, as praise God, they're getting their little spanking, the NFL. Their stadiums are getting empty because of the Black Lives Matter. You know, the putting the knee down thing that started all this falderal with that the guy with the hair. But the it used to be the stadiums were packed, and you would still to this day see this if it wasn't for the Black Lives Matter movement. But Christians would often take advantage of the cameras in the NFL so as to preach John 3:16 far and wide. Well, Hollywood had an actor doing this, and it's in more than one movie. It even some of the comedic, you know, the comedy films, where I remember, like with one of the airplanes movie about the airplane, Leslie Nielsen was walking through the airport, and he's, I think he punched a Christian, or he took the John 3:16 thing and ripped it in half. And then he come up and he punched a Hare Krishna in the face, because you know how they exaggerated it, of course. But as he's walking through the airport, all these religious people coming up and trying to put tracks in his face, and so he's just going through them like it's like a gauntlet, beating them all up. But they had an actor in this one movie displaying the verse on a big card, like a poster card. I would think it would be like 2 foot by 2 foot, and it just had John 3:16. That's all it was. John, you know, 3:16. But the way the Christian was dressed, and the kid, and the Christian had a huge afro on, and it was multicolored. That made Christians look silly, idiotic, crazy, like clowns. And for the babe in Christ that is being moved to go forth and proclaim this truth, that strange-looking Christian in that movie can be used by Satan to make them feel like if they share this verse for Jesus, people are going to laugh at them too. They're going to think you're crazy. Family members are going to shun you, and then friends will walk away from you for the rest of your life. And so they ignore the tugging on their hearts from the Holy Spirit and choose to shut up simply because of the lies of Satan put it in front of their eyes. But at the same time, there's people out there that, regardless of the afro wig or not, read the Bible and it hit them like a ton of golden bricks from heaven. And so praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing there. But this actually reminds me of a statement that Sister White said in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 431. I'm going to share it with you here. She said, when speaking out the loud cry, well, actually, that's what I'm saying. my silly notes here, but anyway, when speaking of the loud cry, I kind of messed up my notes. She says this: the message will be carried as was the midnight cry of 1844. Not so much by argument. Now check. Oh, this is amazing. As a matter of fact, I was watching a preacher, and he actually last night. I found another SDA preacher. I'm not sure if he's 100% SDA. It was an old, you know, 70s or 80s video of a preacher. And he actually used this statement. And but I did these notes, 3 weeks ago? And so, she says, the message will be carried, you know, the loud cry, as was the midnight cry of 1844, not so much by argument as by the deep conviction of the Spirit of God. Just hang on there for a second there. She goes on to say that the arguments have been presented. In other words, there's no more debate now. Think about this. This is the loud cry she's talking about here. All right? This is, what, the next month, the next year? Who knows? It's going to happen if the Pope gets his way by 2027. Yeah, the loud cry is going to be happening before 2027. It has to. Because he does what he does to try to shut us up. In the loud cry. So, but if you listen to the SDA preachers, say, oh, no, they'll do the Sunday law first, then we'll go out in the loud cry. No, that's not how it works. But even after they do, and you know, start the buy and sell thing, yeah, some of the Christians will get it even a little bit more vocal, but no, we'll be doing it. We're doing it now, but it's not the loud cry yet. We're waiting. And so, but the publication, she says, the arguments have been presented. The seed has been sown, and now it will spring up and bear fruit. So that's what we're doing now. Well, the arguments are, we're presenting them right now. This is before the loud cry goes, right? And so the seeds have been sown. And then she says, the publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence. That's why we're handing out the tracts and handing out the books, like we're doing, you know, and making the videos. The publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence. And I'm talking real missionary workers that go out and do it here, there, and everywhere. They don't just go to one area, sit down, and start a church, and become a big fish in a little pond. No, these are real Christian workers that go, like the apostles went from city to city, state to state, will go, or country to country, you know, whatever. And so, anyway, so the publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence, yet many whose minds have been impressed have been prevented from fully comprehending the truth or from yielding obedience. Again, that is what's going on right now. But now you got to listen closely. Listen closely what she says next, because this is when the loud cry hits it. So we've already put out, let's say this is 2 years from now or 5 years from now, whatever the case may be. We've done it. The books fell out, like the tracks like the leaves of autumn. They just fell from above and landed everywhere, okay? So the work is out there. In other words, it has been distributed. No more arguments need to be presented. It's done. Now listen closely. She says, "Now the rays of light... Now the rays of light penetrate everywhere. The truth is seen in its clearness. And the honest children of God sever the bands which have held them." Now, check this out. One of the reasons these people yield from obedience or are prevented from fully comprehending the truth is because, yeah, I'll go out and do it. I'll go full-time into ministry as soon as my dad kicks off this fertile coil. Or, you know, or dies, if you want to say it that way. Or I don't want to do it now because I'll, you know, my wife isn't walking as she should, or the girlfriend that I want to marry doesn't quite get it the way I see it, so I don't want to go out there and preach it yet. Or my mom and dad are, oh, they're already up in my face about wanting to keep Sabbath holy. I go out and say this, they'll just kick me out of the house. I'll be, you know, homeless. Or my siblings, or my friends, or that guy. Oh man, forget about it. If I go to school tomorrow, they'll be laughing it up. And no, I'm not going to do it now. But now the loud cry is going forth. We've done it. The work has been distributed. They had the tract. They read it. Okay, they ignored it for then. But now the rays of light are hitting them, and they're hitting them everywhere because now it's obvious. The latter rain's on us. We're going out with the loud cry. And we're saying things that are watering the seeds like never before, and the Lord's giving the increase, because this is the latter rain. It's the final opportunity for the Lord to reach out to the people that he can reach out to get them in. It's also Satan's time, too. It's his last hurrah as well. And so, check it out what she says here. The honest children of God sever now. They don't let the people, you know, oh, I'll walk away from my girlfriend now. Yeah, if my wife doesn't want to hear it, fine, see ya. You know, that kind of stuff. It's different now. They sever the bands which have held them. And then she says, family connections, church relations are powerless to stay them now. Truth is more precious than all besides. Notwithstanding the agencies combined against the truth, a large number take their stand upon the Lord's side. And so I praise the Lord for this prophesied fact, as many of us saw this with our own eyes. I and my wife and children were personally disowned by my 10 siblings and both parents because I refused to bow to family demands of going back into the Roman Catholic Church, 37 years ago? Later, even though a certain pastor was someone I looked up to because of his strength of faith in very dangerous situations that we used to go in some bad areas in Chicago, even at 11 o'clock at night, when he denied the Bible truths about the pulpit and those ordained to stand there, we left that church as well. Nothing was going to hold us back. Truth was more precious than all besides, like she says here. And no, we never knew about the spirit of prophecy then, nor have any of you that saw the same thing in your homes years ago when you were disowned. And I know we've had, and I praise God for this. This has always shocked me, and I always praise his name for this, how young people are, you know, are part of our number. And some of these young people have even had to deal with their own parents doing what Sister White says. And the Bible, obviously, Jesus said, you know, enemies are going to be of your own household. So, like I was saying, you know, some of the young men in the faith were also persecuted by their parents, and women, some of the young girls. They were persecuted by their apostate church leaders, too, and members, church members. But So far, all of you brothers and sisters, y'all stood firm because the truth is more precious than all that. And sadly, I know of some that allowed their parents to lure them off the path to keep their family connections tight, and some even went all the way back into the Church of Rome because the truth was not at all precious to them in the first place. They loved their mommy and their daddy a lot more than Jesus. You know? And so this is just the way it is in these days. So obedience unto the Lord is not just an amazing way to place a smile on our Father's face in heaven. It is also a way to bless us with all sorts of amazing gifts from heaven. Everything from the gentle hug to the Holy Spirit-inspired utterance that cuts the hearts of all that hear it. It just shocks me to this day. I mean, we love the Lord. That's obvious. Our obedience is done from the heart and not from fear of hellfire. That's not even on the table anymore. Because I know a lot, like when I was growing up and sharing my faith on the street, I ran across a lot of people that got into Christianity because they thought it was fire insurance. And that brings me back to the 1844 thing. When October 23rd came, you knew the overwhelming majority of the people were readying for the return of Christ because they were afraid of burning into hellfire. They weren't readying for the return of Christ because they loved him and they wanted to see him. No, only 50 people were like that. The rest, no. They're dross. They were all ready for flames. And you'll see that today, too, especially when the buy and sell. Because like right now, we've got quite a few people in the church family all over the world. When they enforce the buy and sell situation, we're going to lose some people. But praise the Lord. If you look at Spirit of Prophecy even a little bit deeper, you're going to see that she says that their places will be taken by people that left the other churches because of the truth we embrace. So 10 people leave our number, 10 people walk in. 100 people leave our number, 100 people walk in. In other words, the numbers aren't going to change much. And so we know all about the great cost of our salvation, and this is why we love him as much as we do. And it's not we don't fear death. We certainly don't fear hellfire because that's not on our table. And we also know how great that love is that comes from the Lord that no man can contemplate its vastness. And to top it off, 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. It's all about love. That's what he's always been about. God is love, period. That's how it's defined, the word God. And so how amazing is that? He didn't have to show his love. He could have easily just waited to see if we would love him before he loved us first. Or before he loved us back. But no. He went first. And because of that, many precious souls were saved from Satan's hateful claws. In fact, it says this in Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. Amen. Yeah, 1 John 4:8. Thanks, Brother Sean. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. There's your definition right there, that one verse, 1 John 4:8. And so Romans 5, verses 7 and 8, looks like the lag. Oh, no, that's right. He's in turbo, so he's not going to have any lag on the audio. And so pray about that, too, because the guys at Turbo actually gave us two rooms, even though they only charged us for one. So maybe we can get 150 people. I'm going to contact them this week and find out, is there a break in the price for us to go with 200 people to come into the Turbo? The only problem with that is, I can set it up to where everybody's muted when they come in anyway, so that way we won't hear dogs bark and kids crying. But Romans 5 verses 7 and 8, it says, now check this, now, try to contemplate this kind of love, because angels can't. And if they can't, you can't. I mean, you could dwell in it, you can bask in it, you can have a lifetime in it, an eternity in it, in fact. Romans 5 verses 7 and 8 says, for a righteous man will one die. I mean, especially in today's world, you could be. How many people have seen these videos on YouTube, by the way, where someone, like the friend told me something a couple, 3 weeks ago, I don't know when it was, I think I mentioned it in a video, where a guy gets hit by a motorcycle, he's laying out there in the street, all injured up, can't move, people are just walking by, gets hit by a car because he's laying in the street, people are just walking by, don't even bother helping a guy, and he gets hit by another car. Or, we've all seen this too. And you see this on YouTube where people actually video with their cameras, their cell phones, other people using cell phones to just look at someone dying on the street instead of helping them. And I'm thinking, okay, that's all bad that you're... it's good that you're showing everybody how idiotic all these people are, but put the phone down and go help the guy. Because they're taking a video of how everybody else is ignoring the guy laying there. He says, look at all the people taking the videos of the guy laying there. Hey, man, you're doing it too. Put the phone down. Go help the guy. But when we experience this kind of love that Romans chapter 5 talks about, and especially after finding out what Satan's plans are for us, because he don't want to burn alone. He knows where he's headed. When we find out about this kind of love, when we experience, anybody could find out about it because there's Bibles all over the planet, but when we experience it, there's a big difference. When we experience it, we are grateful deep down inside to the point where we will do anything the Father asks us to do because we now know what real love is. We know that even if the world hates us for loving Him, our Lord's going to protect us and bless us. Each and every day they hate us. It doesn't matter. Even if they lay us down on a guillotine and lop our head off, hey, we don't hate them. We'll be probably reminded of what Stephen said as they were stoning him to death, or even what our Savior said, you know, when he was hanging on the cross, but where he said, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Or Stephen said, hold this sin not against them, or this charge not against them. But even as we are in this sin-filled planet, we can know, as Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, and this is right before he ascended into the heavens. This is after they killed him and he resurrected. And he's given the apostles his last few instructions while on earth. I mean, he continued on giving instructions because the Bible grew to 66 books after that, after he ascended. So he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise God for that. And I want to share something with you. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I heard a preacher say this many, many years ago, and I've shared it a few times already, and it kind of explains this kind of love that the Father has for us and how it affects us when we find out about it. Because, I mean, I grew up in a loving house, you know, even though it was a lot of anger in the house. I knew my dad loved me. I knew my mom loved me. I wasn't so sure about my siblings, but, you know, we all, you know, siblings are siblings. But I know they loved me because I loved them, right? Still do. And so, like I said, I heard this many, many years ago, and I'm probably going to massacre the daylights out of it, but I'm just going to do it from memory in regards to it was when they were selling slaves here in America. And a lot of the black folks don't know that the only reason there were slaves here in America is because their black friends sold them into it in Africa. You know, the American people had to purchase them or take them under direction of the leaders in Africa. And that's already been documented, but no one wants to talk about that. But anyway, they were having an auction, and a bunch of guys are up there, you know, which I think is so disgusting. Just because of the color of their skin or the fact they weren't educated, that's no reason. They're brother, you know, they're humans just like me and you. But they got all these guys lined up and you know, selling them as slaves. And one of the guys kept on yelling and screaming. You know, says, "Okay, you might be able to buy me because I can't stop you." He's already got whip marks on him and stuff. Probably he's got chains on. And he's saying, "Yeah, but I'm going to be the worst slave you've ever had. You're going to have to kill me." You know, because I'm just going to, day after day after day after day, complain, 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 complain. So all I'm going to do is complain. I hate you. I know you're going to hate me. It just goes on and on and on, right, for the whole auction. And, you know, not surprisingly, nobody bid on him. And so he was brought up to be, you know, auctioned off again one last time, or maybe it was just twice. And so one last time before they'll take him away and kill him anyway. Some guy comes from the back and he buys him, puts him in his trailer on the back of his, I guess he's got a horse-drawn trailer or a cage. And the whole time there, he's just cruising him all the way back to where he came, you know, where the owner of the slave lived. And it turned out that the slave was, and I don't know how this all works out, but maybe it was in a different country or something like this. I don't think it was America because there wasn't a lot of black people living in America, but I think there were some already living in places like Australia where they also sold slaves. And so I can't remember how this part goes with the story, but I do know that the slave owner, after days of listening to this guy harp and complain and yell and scream, finally got to the edge of his land the slave owner's land and let him out of the cage, and he says, "You're a free man. You go anywhere you want." And the guy looked around, the black guy looked around, and he realized he was in his own country. He was in his own land, where he wanted to be in the first place. Whether he came years later or whatever, I don't know what the fact of the matter is he dropped to his knees, grabbed the slave owner's ankles, and says, "I'll do anything you ask for the rest of your life." Because the slave owner also owned that land that he lived on, I guess. That's how it went. That's what happened to me back in 37 years ago when I met Christ. I kicked and screamed the whole way there until that day he took me and he died for me and gave me freedom to go forward and do whatever I wanted in life in his kingdom, if you will, in his existence. And I've loved him ever since. Yeah, it was a rough road up to this point. I'm hoping I got plenty of years left. But he is just amazing. All that Fran and I went through, and the kids too, the last 37 years. Even before we left the Catholic Church, because for 18 months I was in the Catholic Church, the Lord was working me out, because that's when I started reading the Bible, 18 months before I left. And I could clearly relate to this slave being bought and then being set free. Because, boy, I was in that cage of sin. I was bonded, ankles and wrists, even had one around my neck. I mean, I was in bondage, just like any slave. I was a slave to sin. And when he freed me like that day, I still get misty thinking about it because, I bawled my eyes out, and I was alone. I wasn't no Pentecostal church screaming and yelling, rolling around like a dead fish or a dying fish. And I shouldn't say it that way, too, because they really don't know what they're doing. It's just a kundalini experience. It's a demon that makes them flop around like that. It's not the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on. Show me in the Bible where when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they start laughing and flipping around like a fish out of water on the ground and hooping and hollering and saying words that don't mean anything. It's just, no, it's a demon called kundalini, or the kundalini experience or something like that. I can't remember. I did some work on it years ago. I think I got it on the tongues page on the website. But thank you for having patience with me, because I just went a little bit too far over. So hope and pray you will be blessed with what we're going to continue to do here in a few moments. So please stick around. I'll be back in a minute. Thank you for being here, brothers and sisters. I'll be back in a minute.